word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Welcome to the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, senior pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. In this podcast, you'll receive the word of God with anointed clarity and revelation straight from the throne of grace. Now, let's join Pastor White with the word of God already in progress.
The Old Testament book of Exodus, Exodus the 5th chapter. Want to look again at verses 22 and 23. Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Let me know you're there by shouting amen. And if you need a minute, just say hold up. Exodus chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. If you're there, read aloud along with me as we read together verses 22 and 23 of Exodus chapter 5. Together the word reads, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Moses comes back to God and says, "God, why are you treating us like this?" "Because ever since I went to Pharaoh, like you told me to, he's treated your people bad. And God, if that's not bad enough, you have yet to do anything about it." From that portion of God's word, I want to use as a thought this morning, deliverance delayed. Deliverance delayed. Is there anybody besides me this morning that can really, 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 really say that you love the Lord? Amen. I really do. I really do. There is nothing more important in my life than my relationship with God. That's fact. That's fact. That's fact. There is nothing more important to me than to be on the Lord's side. That's fact. That's fact. That is fact. Some folk would rather houses and land. Some folk choose silver and gold. These things they treasure and forget about their soul. But I have decided to make Jesus my choice, and I love the Lord with every breath I take, with every move I make. I said, love God. Is there another in here who can say, "You show enough love God"? Look at your neighbor and say, "I show enough love him. I love him. I love him. I love him." But I also need you to understand that as much as I love God, there are times I don't like him. I just lost some folk right there. I just lost some deep folk right there. That ain't me. I always like God. You a lie. The truth ain't in you. Because there are sometimes in your walk, there are things that transpire in your life, you find yourself saying, "God, what's up with this? What's up with this? What's up with this?" Get out of your deepness for a moment and just be real. Listen, when we call on God, yeah, God does indeed answer prayer. But check it out. When you call God, he gives you one of three answers. God either says yes, God either says no, or God says not yet. God is a prayer answerer. And when you pray, God either says yes. We love the yeses of God. We love it. Don't judge me. We love it when God says yes. We might not like it, but we can even deal with it when God says no. But when God says nothing. can deal with the affirmative, yes. We can even deal with the definitive of the negative when God says no. But when God says nothing, that's God saying not yet. When God says nothing, we can't handle that. We start acting a fool. We start losing our cool. When God says nothing, we start taking matters into our own hand. When God says nothing, we find ourselves straying away doing our own thing. When God says nothing, we use that as an excuse to do what we want, when we want, how we want. When God says nothing, we find ourselves getting angry with the God that we love. Can I get a real witness up into here? And that's really what was going on with Moses right here. Moses was upset with God. When he returned to God, he was upset with God. He went back to God. And wait, let me rewind a little bit and tell you why Moses was upset with God. For you see, the people of Israel were in Egyptian captivity. And while they were in Egyptian captivity, they prayed and they prayed for a deliverer. God had raised up a Moses. He had raised up a Moses to deliver his people out of enslavement. And one particular occasion, as we find here in this text, they had gone to Moses and said to Moses, look, Moses, go to Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh we've been working too hard. We need some time to worship God. Let me pause and parenthetically interject this ideology, which is a bunch of big words, to say, let me throw this up in here. You need to always find time, make time, create time, insert time to give God glory. Don't you ever be so consumed in life and in work and in your busyness that you don't have time to worship him who enable you to work and to be busy. Come on up in here, somebody. So we find them saying, we need time to worship the God that we love. They then push Moses out to go to Pharaoh, as God did. Look, Moses, go to Pharaoh. God told Moses, go to Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh to give my people an opportunity to give my name glory, to give my name praise. Is there anybody that really loves to give God glory? Is there anybody that really loves to give the Lord praise? And can I get a witness that every time you try to give God your best, there is always something or someone that interferes with your worship? There is always something or someone that tries to mess up your mind, tries to distract you, tries to deter you, tries to alter the direction in which you are going. Every time you put your foot forward to go on in God, there is something, some situation that tries to knock you two steps backward. Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, look, give God's people an opportunity to worship him. Pharaoh, and look, Pharaoh, who is your God, Moses? Look, the truth is, Moses, y'all just lazy. You all are trying to find a way to get out of work and hide it under the auspices of worship. You tried to get out of work by saying that you want to worship. Apparently, you got too much time on your hands. Apparently, I've been too good to you. So, Moses, this is what I'm going to do. As I used to give you the straw by which to make brick, I now say you got to go gather your own straw, still make the same number of brick. I'm still expecting the same quota, but now you got to get more work done in order to meet the same thing. Are y'all following me up in here? So now you got to make brick without straw. You got to gather your own straw. You got more work to do since you got so much time on your hand. We then find the people of God being mistreated by the men of Pharaoh. They then go to Pharaoh saying, why, Pharaoh, are your men treating us so bad? Why are they giving us such a hard time? Why is it that we now got to gather our own straw to make the same number of brick in the same amount of time? Pharaoh, why is it that we're being treated this way? Pharaoh said, don't talk to me, talk to Moses. Moses is the one that had the nerve to come to me and to tell me that you all want to worship God. And isn't it interesting when folk get amnesia? It's amazing when folk get amnesia. All of a sudden, nobody remembers that we told Moses, as we talked to God, told Moses to go tell Pharaoh to give us some worship time. But now that their worship has forced them to do more work, they get an attitude with Moses. They start chiding against Moses. Now, it's interesting. It is Pharaoh who gave the mandate that they had to do the same amount of brick while also gathering straw, which means they had to do more work. That came from Pharaoh, but they didn't get mad at Pharaoh. It was God that told Moses to go to Pharaoh. But they didn't get mad at God. All Moses is guilty of is doing what the Lord told him to do. And they get mad at Moses. It was Pharaoh that gave them more work. It was God that caused the whole thing to transpire. They didn't get mad at Pharaoh. He'll give them more work. Didn't get mad at God because, oh my God, that's sacrilegious. So instead, they get upset with Moses. That's what psychologists call displaced anger. You're placing your anger on someone that you can manipulate and control when you're really upset with somebody else. Come on up in here, somebody. Yeah, you're really upset with that. But you're really going to take it out over here. You're really mad about this, but you're going to take it out over here. Yeah, Moses now finds himself being the victim of displaced anger. You ever found yourself the victim of displaced anger? Wondering why would no one, but no, world's going on up in here. All I'm trying to do is live right. That's all I'm trying to do. But every time I try to do right, somebody wants to give me a flashback of my life before Jesus. Don't judge me. I ain't the only one that can admit I ain't always been saved. And every now and then, as saved as I am, I'll get a flashback. I ain't got no real folks in here. Because some of y'all woke up with a flashback this morning. Some of y'all on your way to church had a flashback. Somebody in your house was slow. They were dragging. They were moving slow. And you had a before Christ flashback. I better not go there. I'm reminding y'all of something that happened this morning. Moses now goes back to God. He's upset with God. He's angry with God. And as he's angry with God, he said, God, what's up with that? I know you're too deep to have that type of relationship with God, but there's sometimes in my walk with God when I find myself being pressured by life that I really don't have time to go into my talk by saying, oh, thou in whose presence. Every now and then, don't judge my relationship with my God, me and my God, but when I find myself going through some of the struggles and storms of life, I find myself throwing my hands up in the air and saying, God, what's up with that? Anybody ever have one of those God, what's up moments? Moses said to God, ever since I've done what you told me to do, bad things have happened in my life, and you have yet to do anything about it. And God got silent. Somebody right now, in your life, you're in the silence of God. You've been praying and God hadn't said anything. You're in the silence of God. But I just came to tell a few witnesses in here that God's silence is not Him denying. You hadn't been denied. Your blessing is simply in delay. God has not denied you. Your deliverance is simply in delay. God not only is getting your blessing ready for you, but God in the midst of the delay is getting you ready for your blessing. Somebody need to tell the Lord thank you right there, because not only is God in the process and in the midst of getting blessings ready for you, but He's grooming you and maturing you, shaping you and molding you to get you ready for what God has for you. Somebody tell the Lord, bless me, Lord, because truth of the matter is, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. When your deliverance is in delay, I got to parenthetically pull out of the word of God, as today my 3 points do not come directly out of the word. They are all implied. They are all inferred. They are all suggested. And look, those things that your natural eye cannot see, aren't you glad that God is giving you someone who with exegetical integrity can excavate the word of God and pull out that which is needed to get you beyond the point where you now are? Somebody ought to tell the Lord thank you up in here. I come to tell you that when your deliverance is in delay, the first thing you got to do is you got to tarry. Somebody shout tarry. Tarry, 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 tarry. The old folk used to say you got to tarry. Anybody remember back in the old day? I ain't quite old enough myself to remember. I heard. They had the amen corner over there on the side. They used to just tarry. They'll bring you to the altar and they just tarry. They pray over you all day long until you got it. They look over you, say, you got it yet? You got it yet? Some folk who were there in the midst of tarry and never knew what they were supposed to get and finally realized they ain't gonna get off of me until I say yeah. So I just said yeah. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Yeah, you got to tarry. To tarry means to wait. When you find your deliverance in delay, you just got to wait on the Lord. Why do I have to wait? Because you got to know that God is up to something. Ooh, I'm trying to bless somebody up in here. Yeah, you got to know that in the silence of God, let me break it down this way. I'll never forget when we were younger, my mama and daddy, my mother and father were not the type that tried to hide from us when they disagreed. They would let us know, therefore, even in their disagreeing, that you can disagree without being disagreeable. Amen. Because some folk you just can't argue with. Amen. That's why when some folk, look, I tell folk, don't argue with a fool.
Come on. Trying to figure out which one is which. Come on.
They'll draw you. Mom and daddy, in the midst of one of their disagreements, Daddy would say something, mom would say something, mom would give her point, daddy would give his point, and then as this was going back and forth for a few moments, daddy didn't just say, look, Frankie Mae, this is just it, put my foot down, this is no more discussion, and mama got quiet. I was a little kid, Alex, and I was like, good gracious, my daddy is the man. They're going back and forth. Daddy just said, that's it, Frankie Mae, that's it, put down, I ain't talking about it no more, it's done. I'm like, wow. Wow, my mama right there. Wow. A few minutes later, daddy started gathering all of us. He said, Rashawn, Ardeesh, Rico, Venetia, get in the car. We're going to get some ice cream. Ice cream? It ain't even Friday, daddy. What's going on? Get in the car. Get in the car. We're going to get some ice cream. Daddy, we ain't even got, it ain't even report card time. We ain't even showed you our good grades. Why in the world are we going? Get in the car. We're going to get some ice cream. Watching it was some months later. I remember saying, daddy, why is it that you told us to get in the car to go get some ice cream? All I remember is you said something, mama said something, mama said something, you said something. You finally said, that's it, Frankie Mae, we ain't talking about it no more, my foot is down. He said, listen, boy, you gonna learn that when your mama gets quiet, she up to something. And I wasn't gonna stay long enough to find out what she was up to. Listen, when God is silent, the devil in hell knows that in the silence of God, you don't believe me, when Jesus was down in that grave for 3 days in silence. He was up to something. I come to tell you, when your deliverance is delayed, you got to tarry. You got to wait. Yeah. The old folks say you can't hurry God. You got to trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God you can't hurry. He'll be there, don't you worry. He may not come when you want him, but he's always. That's why Isaiah said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, they shall mount up on wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. When your deliverance is in delay, tarry. Not only God sharing with Moses, you got to tarry. But the second thing is, you got to trust. You got to trust. You got to trust that God will do just what he said. I understand that in the silence of God, when it ain't happening on your terms, in your time, you find yourself getting antsy. When it's not happening in your time and on your terms, you find yourself wanting to take matters in your own hand. When it's not happening in your timing and on your terms, you find yourself pulling hair out your head. And as a result, listen, it is in times such as that you find yourself doing things that you normally would not do. Can I get a real witness up in here? Yeah, because what you're really telling God is, yeah, I don't trust you. That's what you're really sharing. I ain't say that, Pastor. No, you showed him that. And listen, I learned the communication 101 at UNC Charlotte that 70% of communication is nonverbal. So you tell God more by what you do than what you say. Come on in here, somebody. You can tell God you trust him all day long. But when God, now I better not go right there. Somebody might get upset with me. But when you show God otherwise, God is saying, no, there's more credence in what you do than what you say. But when your deliverance is in delay, you got to trust God. You got to trust, yeah, that God will do, that God will do. That's why Habakkuk said, write the vision. Make it plain. That it shall speak and not lie. Though the vision is only for a while, it shall speak and not lie. For if the Lord said it, you can count on it. God will do just what he said. Am I right about that thing? You just got to trust God. You got to have faith. Somebody shout faith. For the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. But in order to please God, you got to first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek and serve him. In other words, even though things look bad, I still trust God. Even though the doctor gave me a bad report, I still trust God. Even though I got more month than I got money, I still, somebody gonna catch that when you get home, I still trust God. I trust God enough that I'm not gonna sell anything I ain't got no business selling. I ain't gonna go any place I ain't got no business going. I ain't gonna do anything that I ain't got no business doing, because I got that much faith in God. I got faith that can see the invisible. I got a faith that can conquer the unconquerable. I got a faith that can do anything. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that got the kind of faith in God that says, I trust in God? Come what may, I trust in God, no matter how the delay, and I'm gonna hold on to God's unchanging hand. When your deliverance is in delay, you got to tarry, but secondly, you got to trust.
We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired by the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and or seeking a church home, please feel free to worship with us at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church, located at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday morning worship with the preached word at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study, 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. and every first Sunday Holy Communion. For more information about Weeping Willow, please go online to www.weepingwillowamez.org or call 704-532-9125 or via email at wwillowchurch@aol.com. Finally, if this podcast has encouraged and inspired you, please come visit us at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
This is Enrico White, pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. I'm personally inviting you to join us for the experience. Experience the word. Experience the worship. Experience the witness at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have two wonderful worship experiences, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Come be revived. Come be renewed as lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed. Weeping Willow is located 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, or look for us on the web, weepingwillowamez.org. We'll see you real soon. This is Enrico White, pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. I'm personally inviting you to join us for the experience. Experience the word, experience the worship, experience the witness at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have two wonderful worship experiences, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Come be revived, come be renewed as lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed. Weeping Willow is located 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Or look for us on the web, weepingwillowamez.org. We'll see you real soon.